Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Can you make the music a little louder? Can't hear it. Brothers and sisters. Lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, Brahma Ramadana, Buddha, here's Buddha, or Mother Mary. But until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I want to welcome you to Dr. Susie Speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A. This is the Womb Room, and I am the Irreverend Dr. Susan Block, your servant and humble storyteller. Tonight, if you're watching us live, it is March 19th, the anniversary of the start of shock and awe. Brothers and sisters, the Bush bombing of Iraq, and today, Obama, change we can believe in, he bombed Libya, of course. So today is a big day for weapons of mass destruction, for sure. Today is also the day that the radiation plumes from the nuclear disaster in Fukushima, Japan, are supposedly making their way to American shores. So, these are the effects of these weapons of mass destruction. But tonight, I'm so happy that we're all coming together to release weapons of mass seduction. That's right, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. Tonight, we celebrate the rites of spring, the Persian New Year, and the Festival of Esther, also known as Purim. Purim Sameach. Purim Sameach, Rabbi Mikael. Purim Sameach, everyone. You can get a mask. You can get a grogger. If you don't know Purim from puree, don't dismay. It's all right here in your Bible, brothers and sisters. That's right, I'm going to thump your Bible tonight in a whole different way. right between Nehemiah and Job. You got the Book of Esther, Megillat Esther on Ivrit. And it's a great story. It's filled with sex, of course. Every scene has some sexual element. It's full of seduction. That's the weapon here. It's full of surprise, and certainly this show tonight is very full of surprises. We've just cast our show and recast it, and everyone is doing everything totally improvisationally, and that is why we call ourselves the Commedia Erotica Players. Yes, let's hear it. Let's hear it for all these wonderful people that are going to just do it. Do it, whatever it takes. They don't know their lines. It's okay. They're going to do their lines. They're going to be their lines. They're going to be their characters, just like y'all can be characters. If anyone wants to get up and join, that is also permissible, but you should trade your paper cup for a goblet, because we are filming up here. So, surprise, sexual harassment, debauchery, drinking. Did I mention drinking? There's a lot of drinking that goes on Purim. As a matter of fact, it is in the Talmud, in the Babylonian Talmud. Isn't that right, Rabbi Mikhail?
It certainly is right.
That's right. You are supposed to drink so much you don't know the difference between the bad guys and the good. That's a lot. You know, you're not supposed to know the difference between right and wrong. It's kind of crazy. Kind of like supermoon, baby. Loony. Yeah, and it is the supermoon tonight. So be careful, please. I should tell myself that. By the way, I, your humble storyteller, will not be drinking. Because I had to get through the story. Maybe at the end of the story. But y'all should keep drinking up and enjoying the relaxation of the rules that characterizes Purim. So, okay. So our story begins with a great feast, a great party that is being presided over by our party animal king. This is King Ahasuerus. King Ahasuerus is also known as King Xerxes. He's more famous, right?
But that's correct.
Ahasuerus is the name in the Bible. And he is a party animal king. He likes to drink and party. And he's carrying on a feast to celebrate his 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. The feast goes on for 180 days. And they say Charlie Sheen is decadent. This is major feasting, major drinking. And he's got his courtiers around him, Haman being his main courtier. Haman is also the villain. And yes, every good story has a villain. And you guys that are cranking your groggers, that sounds sexual. I'm not sure what that means. But, you know, somebody told me that groggers were the original vibrator. So we're going to have to figure out if that works. But you ladies should have groggers, actually, in here. Take groggers. You all should have groggers. Make sure that they have groggers. Okay. And when there's coins if you want to, you know, condoms also. So when you hear the name of the villain, this villain, George Bush, no, okay, Gaddafi. The name of the villain, which is Haman, the tradition is that you make the noise, you crank the grogger. And we have a lot of noise. Do we have a drummer here? I thought we had a drummer. No drummer? Okay. Where's my drummer? No drummer? Drum. Anyone want to beat? Okay. Well, you can also beat. If you don't have a grogger, you can kind of beat on your, you know, you can spank somebody, I guess. By the way, we have wooden spoons here that celebrate
Soup Day.
Thank you, Rabbi Mikhail. I appreciate that. He's here to help me. Persian New Year, where the kids are supposed to bang pots with their spoons, but we're going to bang people. Anyway, so the king is having a great feast, and he's very merry and drinking. Everybody's drinking. And merry with wine, he calls for his wife, the beautiful and the very royal Vashti, who is also having a party in her harem. And Vashti is right here in her harem having a party. Vashti, by the way, is played by Sin Sage, I should say. And King Ahasuerus tonight is played by Michael Vegas. And Haman is played by Dark Phoenix. Okay, Vashti is in her harem, and she, does she want to come out for the king? I think the guard should come and let Vashti know that the king expects her to come, and she's supposed to come out with her royal crown, is actually what the Bible says. And when I was a little girl in Hebrew school, we learned that with her royal crown really meant wearing nothing but her royal crown. So yes, Vashti is supposed to dance naked. Now, you know, whether she feels this is sexual harassment or she feels like, you know, maybe she's on the rag, maybe she feels she's getting in touch with her lesbian side. Look at her with all the girls. Maybe she just is being a bitch, but she says no. So Vashti, say no. Oh, wait, we need a microphone. Where's the microphone?
The microphone is over there.
The microphone? Who's going to hold the microphone?
There
I need the microphone.
Right there. It's right there.
Okay,
hold on,
we need to hear. Okay, we're getting a microphone. We're getting this together. Yes, microphone.
Okay.
Here we go, microphone.
Let me hear you.
Is it on? Okay, you got it? Okay, can we hear it? We can't hear it, though.
You can't hear it.
Okay.
I can hear it. Get our engineer.
This is like cross between a school play and a porn show. Yeah. we can't hear her.
I know. I'm working on it right now.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay, you've got to tell the king. Put the microphone over this way. This way. This way. This way, to the guard. To the guard. Okay, so he must be, that's pretty upsetting. The king must not be pleased. And Haman, you're a very sadistic guy. So what do you advise the king to do? Talk loud. Well, they say he just gets rid of her, but he might kill her. Okay, well, this was his instinct to kill her. And in the Bible, you know, they say she's banished or perhaps even executed. But here at the Speakeasy, we practice the bonobo way of peace through pleasure. And we're not going to kill her, but we are going to take her to the cross.
Yay.
Strip her. Okay.
Always,
help her.
Always
help
a good
her
option,
stay there.
I find.
This, by the way, is Lily Cade as Lilith, which is not really in the story of Esther. Lilith, though, is a sort of Talmudic, biblical character who is like the demonic original woman before Eve, and we have her in the harem. She is trying to protect Vashti from the guard. Guard. Haman, I think you might have to help.
No molestation.
You're gonna have to get her. You're gonna have to get her, and you're gonna have to take her to the gallows. Okay, don't spill the grapes. Okay. Okay. And the crown. Where's the crown? Oh, the crown went with her. Oh, she had. Okay, keep the crown on. Okay, and now you strip her first, because after all, her crime is not dancing naked, so she must be stripped. Yes! This is Vashti's punishment. She looks good on there, yeah. All right. So, the guards and Haman are stripping Vashti, the queen, who is very, very royal in the Bible. She's a very important queen. And this king is obviously a very impulsive king. Yes, she's very outraged. Okay, and you can just put her up on the beautiful bondage cross here, which is flanked by the fire, which is a symbol of Persian New Year fire. And, of course, that's real fire over there, huh? And there is Vashti.
How can you do this to me?
She's a human sacrifice, I believe. You know, a lot of mythology, such as, what is it? One of those books, the Iliad. Doesn't it start with a human sacrifice, Iphigenia? Anyway, a lot of mythology starts with a human sacrifice. This is the human sacrifice that begins the Book of Esther. In a way, Vashti is the other side of Esther. And we start with a very dramatic moment, just to get your attention, because we're going to get into some Byzantine politics. But Vashti being hung from the cross, totally against her will, of course. It's of course very exciting. Okay, and now we have to torture her. Okay. Oh, he wills it all right. Now, there's a problem though. The king doesn't have a queen, right? The king needs a queen. So, what are we going to do? Well, this is the king of all this territory between India and Ethiopia. And so he has a greater Persian beauty contest in which all of the beautiful ladies of the kingdom are going to vie for the chance to be queen. Although, that could be their fate. But some of them might like that. Not our queen, of course. Look at that ass. Wow. Jesus, that's a nice ass. I know why I cast you as Vashti. Whew! So we're going to have a little beauty contest. But first I want to introduce you to Mordecai. Whom I call Pimpin' Cousin Mordecai. We all know who Mordecai is? Mordecai is played by Bon John Sin. Bon John, of course, you can tell, the tallest, the...
Schmeckle.
Schmeckle, is that what that is, Rabbi Mikhail? A schmeckle?
Yes, we'll call it a schmeckle. He's called a schmeckle.
And, of course, this little beardy grew just for this part. This is Mordecai, Pimp and Cousin Mordecai. You know, the Jews were what they were carried away, is what they say in the Bible. Carried? I always think that sounds very sexual. Like they were literally carried, you know, which is fun. But I know it wasn't really fun. But they were carried from the land of Israel to Babylonia, and then the Persians took over. So anyway, so they're in exile. And, you know, they got problems, sort of like, I guess, you know, illegal aliens, although they're kind of quasi-legal. So, but you're in Persia, you're in this great kingdom, and you see an opportunity. You're an opportunistic guy.
Absolutely.
Okay, can we have a microphone for Bon John now, please? Microphone, please.
For Mordecai.
Mordecai. Yeah, right. Excuse me, Mordecai. Okay, microphone is coming. No microphone. Can we get a working microphone, please? Okay. What can we take? Nori, can you help out? Get a mic. Get this microphone. No one's using this one. Okay. I will take this opportunity for a water break.
That one.
Okay. Grab that. Okay. All right. So you get on this side then. We have technical situations here. Okay, so now
you
see an opportunity. The opportunity is the king needs a queen. He's looking for a virgin. They were into that then. This is the virgin fetish. They were all into the virgin fetish. Yeah, I know, huh? It's hard to find a virgin, even in ancient Persia, maybe especially. But the point is that cousin Mordecai has a cousin named Esther, who, as everyone knows, played by Misty Dawn, is a virgin. Right? Totally a virgin. This is our Esther, Misty, and Bon, Mordecai. You see the opportunity to Well, I say pimp your cousin off. But, you know, the Bible has a more delicate way of putting it. You bring your cousin to this greater Persian beauty contest, and we're going to see how you do. Let's all kind of parade around in front of the king, ladies. You're not first, though. I think it's beauty contest time. Yes, beauty contest time, and let's have a little music. Can we have a little music so they can dance around? A little music, please.
We biblical scholars actually call this the original bachelor.
The original bachelor.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Party. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just the
okay.
original
here we
reality
go.
Show.
Okay. And so you're going to dance before the king. Come right up here. First, we have Siren Celine. Oh, look at her. She's got some moves here. And she played Esther, I think, in her Hebrew school, right, as a kid? Yeah, I think so, or something. Okay. No. You're going to get ready. No, you're going to be. You have a special part. You have a special part. But you're helping the girls. Actually, I want to introduce. This is Morgan Bailey, first of all, and Morgan is playing the chief eunuch. Okay. Eunuchs are very, very important in the Bible. Right? I did tell you that. I told you last. You were at the show last time. Okay. So eunuchs actually are the. Original? Oh, thank you, Dark Angel. Okay, Dark Angel likes everything. Okay, eunuchs are in charge of the harem, and they are the original trans women community. Of course, it wasn't consensual back then in Bible times, but hey, let's not get choosy. Because after all, if you were a eunuch, you could always get a job in a harem. It was a very important position to have, and you get to do everything with all the girls and the guys as well. So you bring the girls forward to perform for the king. Ah, yes, and the spirit of Lilith is making death easier for Vashti, I see. And here we have Sienna Sinclair, who is now dancing for the king. And we have Ginny Blossom all dancing for the king. You know, it doesn't hurt to show a little skin, ladies. The king appreciates that. He is a party animal. Tops off for the king. I can imagine that really might have happened. Okay, Esther also dances for the king. She doesn't take her top off because she's very modest, Esther. And she's kind of got a slow seduction thing going. Ah. Dude can't touch him yet, though, Esther. You're just one of the girls. And the king likes Esther a lot. But he also likes the other girls, and he's not monogamous. So he orders them all into the harem. All of them. All into the harem.
Into the harem.
And here in the harem, they are beautified for 180 days. They are rubbed with oils. They are fed grapes and dates. They are taught the ways of seduction, all the arts of seduction, mainly by the eunuch, who of course is very knowledgeable about how to seduce a man or a woman, knowing about both sexes. Yes, the perfect safe sex partner, the eunuch. So, in the king's harem. So they're all kind of playing and learning, and Esther is learning. So maybe the eunuch should do a little performance for the ladies. Yes, and
check one two.
Oh, and Mordecai,
check,
by the
check.
Way, during this time, actually, you might think, what's he doing there? He is hanging around
one,
the harem,
two. One, two.
Mordecai, because you know his cousin is there.
Check
and
one,
he
two.
Might not
one,
be actually
two.
That
check,
close, but,
check.
You know, this is just our interpretation here. But he is hanging around the harem, and he's picking up information.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he picks up is that there are eunuchs plotting to kill the king.
What?
check.
This isn't where you rent. No. This isn't check, the part check, where you rent
check,
your clothes.
Check.
Put your clothes back on. You're going to do that later. That was funny, though. Okay, that was close. Okay,
we call that premature, Mordecai.
Is you let that eunuch know that there's another eunuch who's plotting to kill the king, and then you let Esther know. Okay, so just whisper to Esther. Yes, very good. Whispering. This is a very important part. It's a very whispery, secrety kind of a thing.
Esther
is going to have a little visitation with the king. And she tells the king. And the king has the eunuch killed, of course.
Yeah, kill the eunuch.
Kill the eunuch!
Okay. So, now, we only have one. So, there's a lot of eunuchs in the Bible. And,
I should have brought the other eunuchs. I know, you should have. I think you have two. We have one.
Check one, two. One, two. Check.
Well, who wants to... This doesn't have to be a eunuch. Does anybody want to be a one of the most? You know what? We're just going to stay on. And you're going to be...
No, you don't need that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So you're the eunuch, so
can you hear me?
Whack her some more.
Yeah.
Okay. The spoon. All right. They use the spoon. Okay. So, at this point, Esther is winning the confidence of the king, not just because she's beautiful, but because she has saved his life. And so, Esther is crowned queen. Alright. And where's the crown?
Give the new queen the crown!
Alright. And now, immediately the king, who is a party animal, holds a great feast in Esther's honor. And, of course, we don't know from the Bible what is done at this feast. What does Esther do at this feast? But I would guess, since Vashti refuses to dance naked for the king, that perhaps that is what Esther does. What do you think?
I would say that's what the good book says.
All right. So, Esther, let's have some music. Music up.
Seven veils.
He's got to kill Mordecai, but, you know, because he likes to kill people.
Susan, take that microphone. Do you have the microphone? Take that microphone. Take that microphone. Take that microphone.
Oh, I should talk in this. Has
yes,
my mic gone
we're
out?
Changing your batteries.
Oh, changing my batteries. Okay, we're changing my batteries. So, let's see. So now, Haman. Oh, look at this. That's very good. He's a kickboxer. Okay. So Haman is pissed because you know Mordecai is good. Hey, I told you it's about good and evil and not knowing the difference. He's good. So Haman decides he's got to kill all the Jews. Right.
Everybody's gone.
And so the king, who is constantly drunk, agrees.
That's okay.
You know, and he gives Haman his okay. Is my mic working now?
No.
Okay, is this mic working? Okay. So he gives Haman his royal seal so that he can have...
The right to have all these like military kind of run around all these provinces from India to Ethiopia and basically kill all the Jews.
I mean, I know this story is not so sexy anymore, but this is one of the really big important parts of the story. Hey, Haman. Okay, I said Haman. This is the shape of his hat. Everybody, you get some Haman talking? Did you get a Hamantash? Okay. You eat the Hamantash and they're the shape of his hat because we're basically trying to have what they call gallows humor. Laugh in the face of tragedy that happens all the time and genocide and people being mean to each other and bigotry and intolerance and all the awfulness. And so the king says okay. And now Mordecai hears about the genocide edict. And he is very distraught. Now's the time that you have to tear your clothes.
I'm not very distraught! Damn it, man!
Yeah. Okay, you're upset. I understand. Genocide is afoot. And you find the eunuch.
Any eunuch with her.
Eunuch, calm him down.
But Haman's son is dead.
I mean, oi.
Nice biblical blowjob.
That's correct. Is my mic working now? No. No, can we have another mic that we can use? Okay, this is the only mic. Should I take my mic off? No? Okay. All right, so, Haman, So, Mordecai is feeling better because the eunuch has convinced Mordecai that really all that has to be done... I didn't realize this, that the eunuch actually has such an important pivotal role. this is a very important pivotal role. And so the eunuch convinces Mordecai that it's all okay because the eunuch is going to tell Esther to handle it. It's very mafioso for him. You're not in the king's lap at the moment. In fact, you're not in the king's lap. The king hasn't seen you in a month. And now your cousin Mordecai has told you that you must go to the king and somehow change his mind. How? You don't know how. But somehow you have to change his mind, right, Rabbi Mikhail?
That is it, correct. Don't bring a eunuch, that's what I say. No offense.
But, you know, it's okay. You don't want to do it at first, but then you decide, yes, you'll do it. You fast for a few days. You tell everybody to fast with you. And then you decide that, yes, you'll go to see the king. It's very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. Why? Because if you go to see the king without being invited, he will have you killed. Because he'll have them killed because, hey, that's what the king does.
He's a busy man.
He has not invited Esther, so he could very well have her killed. The only way that her life will be spared is if he holds out his golden scepter. Show your golden scepter, king. That's it. That, you know, scepters are phallic, I think. Anyway, this one really is. Okay, so Esther, you're going to have to go before the king. Now, in that movie about Esther, there was a long walk that she has to go down. So you should start from here. And everybody is going to look, and when you get towards the king, slowly go towards him. When you get in front of him, you're going to stop her and grab her. And Haman, too. To kill her. Get ready to execute her. Well, wait, you're supposed to go towards the king. Towards the king. Oh, she's just making her rounds. Okay. It's a long walk.
Oh.
Grab her, grab her.
What are you doing?
Okay. Now, they're about to take her to the gallows. But the king...
It's occupied,
though. Well, that's okay. You can, you know...
It's 2-for-1 Saturday.
Okay, here we... do I have to keep talking in this? Am I heard here on this? Is this audio?
Yeah.
Yeah? This one. Okay, not this. Okay, so they're ready to kill her, King.
What say you?
You're just smoking your hookah.
Yeah, he's chill.
Easy going.
Let her live.
No, you have to hold out your scepter. Hold out the scepter.
Scepter says, let her live.
Point it towards her.
They say her scepter has been touched by the tip.
This is in the Bible. It says. Yeah. He touches the tip of his scepter. Now, I always thought that was very erotic when I was a kid in Hebrew school, touching the tip.
It was a circumcised scepter, though, I believe.
Yes, of course.
Just thought I'd mention that.
I'm sure. It's well, actually, I don't know if it was a circumcised scepter.
I believe it was.
This is not really a Jewish king. This is Xerxes. Although that
he did it for cleanliness, not for religious reasons.
All right, so Esther... You are now, you should be kind of on your knees. This is the, you know, because you're in this sort of submissive posture. And this is the dick of the king's harem here. Okay, so the king says, Esther, you look so beautiful. What is, well, actually, I keep talking to this. I keep thinking I have this microphone. What do you want? What is your petition? Even to half of my kingdom, I will grant you whatever you want. This king is impulsive.
Esther, you look so beautiful. What do you want?
You ask him to dinner. You say, I would like to have you come to a banquet. You know your king is a party animal, so you're going to have a party in the harem. So you just say, I want you and Haman to come to dinner tonight. Come to dinner right now, actually, right now.
Dinner
right now.
All right, party.
The king
loves
the
party.
All right, now the king and Haman get to go into the harem. Mordecai hangs out on the edge of the harem. He's kind of grooving now. He's feeling better, Mordecai, because after all, he knows Esther's doing something. And now you bring the king into the harem. Let's have a little music. A little music, please. Yes.
and we are smoking the hookah, and we are eating the sweetmeats and treats and drinking the wine, and this is the banquet of Esther. And I imagine there would be some hanky-panky. Did we ever figure out how to get that off? Can we help with this knot here? A knot. Yeah. Okay, so we get very comfortable, and we're over to that side with those harem girls. Haman, you are in here. Esther, of course, will have her harem girls entertaining. You must entertain Haman. He is the king's right-hand man. He is not a bad man to you, though. Just a very important man, and you're all whores. Wives, excuse me. All right, and we are all having fun. And I think we can just loosen up a little more. The eunuch knows.
I'm Mama. How about you just do it over?
Yeah.
We'll free you, free you.
I know, we're going to spare you. Esther, you are so amazing.
You are so amazing.
She's so amazing. This is the art of seduction. He says he's like down on his knees before her. Down on his knees. This is a king losing his robes down on his knees before Esther, like a dog. Even to half of my kingdom, I will give it to you. And Esther says, I don't really want much. I just want you to come back tomorrow night for dinner. I just want you to come back tomorrow for dinner. Okay? So, he's got to go back. And look at him. He's naked. He's frustrated. He's got blue balls. He's got to go back. This, hello, test.
Don't hold it there. Don't hold it. Hold it up. Susan.
Hold it.
Susan. Susan. No. Susan. No. Come here. Don't hold it here. Susan.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yes. Yes. And the king, though he had blue balls, was still getting it away a little bit with Esther. Esther was saying, okay, just a little bit of the in and out, but not too much tonight.
His royal diary. All right. Okay, we didn't break the glass, did we? Okay.
Grape juice.
Now,
wine.
Okay. Move it. Get the glass. That's glass. All right. And now, the eunuch stay over there. Haman, meanwhile, you are on your way home. And on your way home, you see Mordecai. Mordecai. And Haman. Everyone bow down to Haman. Mordecai will not bow down to him.
You're so muscular, I'm dressed right now.
And so, he wants to kick his ass.
I don't understand. No. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Okay, so now you decide that you're going to ask Haman, I mean, you're going to ask the king to kill Mordecai the next day. Okay. Okay, but in the meantime, the eunuch is reading to the king from his diaries, and he remembers that Mordecai had saved his life way back when, and he decides something must be done for Mordecai. Mordecai, move off for a little while. Your big moment's going to come. Now, Haman, you come in. Haman, come on in. Love. Come on, we all, you know, there's nothing like an enemy to bring people closer together, a common enemy. We would love to hate, don't we?
Yes.
It's almost as pleasurable as loving, hating. It's terrible. That's a part of humanity, though. We have our bonobo side, and we have our chimpanzee side, and we love to hate. So, Haman, as much as you're hated, you're also loved. After all, we eat you.
Yes, you do. Haman was actually known as the Justin Bieber of the ancient Persian world.
Really?
Yes.
So Haman comes in, ready to ask the king to kill Mordecai, but the king speaks first because he is king. And he says, "What shall be done for the man whom the king wishes to honor?"
What shall be done for the man the king wishes to honor?
And the king, and Haman,
first assumes
that
we are the ones who are here. Let's not forget the spinning of the thing we are about. And love, the king wants me to love me too.
That's right. Haman assumes that he is the one to be honored. So he says, well, what shall be done for the man that the king wishes to honor? Well, you should have him ride the king's horses. Actually, it's one horse, but we have two horses, so we're going to have them. And he should get to ride the king's horses through town and wear the king's robe and wear the king's crown. And one of the king's servants should lead the horses. And so the king says, great idea!
Great
I want
idea.
To do that. I want you to do that for Mordecai the Jew.
Whoa! Don't destroy my life!
Say it though. Say it.
I want you to do just that for Mordecai.
I want you to do just that for Mordecai the Jew.
This is bullshit. Absolutely.
What's going on? Come on, you go.
That's what they all say. I'm sure that's what Gaddafi's saying right now, right? So, okay. So now we have the horses. The horses of the king come forward. All right.
This is embarrassing. Seriously.
Well, yeah. Here comes Mordecai. Oh, yes, the crown, too. He gets to wear the crown.
Get the crown! Move it! Move it! Stupid!
All right. Now Mordecai gets to walk through. I think you should walk through the whole area here. Just walk around. See how far you can get. Make way! Make way for Mordecai the hero! He saved the king's life. Whoa, okay, well, maybe we're not going to get that far. Okay. Here's what happened, though, in the Bible. Or I think this is a Midrash, right, Rabbi
yeah.
Mike Nikau? The Midrash is that that the daughter of Haman thought that it was Haman that was on the horse and Mordecai that was leading the horse. So she dumped her chamber pot on Haman's head. So if anyone has a chamber pot, they want to dump on Haman's head. Here he goes. Mama D is getting up there. These are the great horses. These are real life pony girls. Yeah. It's good to be king for the day. Mordecai's having a good time. All right. So now, Haman is in a really bad mood, but he still feels pretty good because he has an invitation to dinner with the queen and the king again in the harem, which is a pretty damn good thing. So now we're going to have another harem party. Okay, kids? Brothers and sisters, we are smoking the hookah. The king is ready. He's up for this. He gets to go into his harem again. I think you get your crown back. Where's Mordecai?
He's still working his way around the town.
And now you get to go into the harem for another... The eunuch goes too. You can take... You know, the eunuchs in the Bible stories, they would cater to the women and they would cater to the men. It was really amazing. They were like your private dancer or something, your eunuch. Okay, so the king is back with Esther. And Haman is also here. Haman, don't be glum, Haman. You know, you've got an invitation to dinner with the queen. Everybody should make Haman feel good. Yes. Haman, go over there. Let Haman party. Let's have some music. Everybody have a drink.
Amen. Amen. What?
I was just blessing you.
Are you doing the cross?
Yeah, I was just blessing you.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Okay.
So no. Keep going. Keep going. Let's get his pants off or something. Get his. I. Somebody should get his. He's very important.
Haman needs to lose his hymen.
This is Esther's party, and this is the art of seduction. You notice how she takes her time. She teases her potentate. She plays him like an instrument. Yes. And she provides all kinds of delights that go on and on and on. This is really all about the art of teasing. Yes. And they're also teasing Haman too. You know? Yes. Okay. Sienna Sinclair. What? Yeah, now I'm on. All right. So how are we doing in here? Wonderful. Okay. Have fun. You know? King, queen, everybody. Now is the time. Let's have a little commentary before the climactic moment.
Yes, I think what you've got to understand is, as the good book says, that Haman!
Right! And doesn't this look like a pussy?
Exactly.
I mean, really. This looks just like a vulva, right? It also looks like his hat, but... Right.
And it's strange that this and the Persian New Year are at the same time.
Yes. Well, I don't think it's so strange. I believe that Purim is an adaptation of Persian New Year. And that's why we're going to have some fire play. We have a little bit of fake fire. We don't want to burn you all in the womb room. I mean, Purim is about recklessness and wildness, but we didn't want to have a big bonfire, even though...
And the Persian feast is called the Persian feast.
Yeah, he's going to do it. Oh, look! Look at you! Haman! Okay. You look cute like that. All right, so where are you leading him to? Okay, he's still in the harem. Keep him in the harem. Everything's going on in the harem now. Oh, the fire. Oh, you're going to do some fire thing.
You're going to do it nude?
Sure.
Oh.
Why not?
Don't burn your todger off.
A little bit of fire thing. Okay. So you got your fire things here, and we're just going to... So Haman is really partying now. And by the way, this is a slow kill of Vashti. Vashti is actually still in the palace grounds. And so he is now taking the fire of Persian New Year, and he is going to torture Vashti a little bit. Right? Are you playing with yourself? Okay, I don't know. Can you do that with Vashti, or is that too fiery? Now, Lilith is guarding Vashti. Lilith is the demon spirit of the harem. Okay. Haman, this make it good, because you're gonna have to burn yourself in a little while. But this is one of the customs of Persian New Year is fire. Woo! But and sin is always game for interesting new experiences, right? Mmm. Mmm, you like it? Some people, you know, lack a little pain. Yeah. Mmm. But yes, I do believe that Purim is the Jewish adaptation of Persian New Year.
And they have the Feast of the Seven S's in Persia. That's what they do on New Year's. The Feast of the Seven S's, where they eat seven things with S in the title. I was very, very upset when I got invited that sodomy is not one of the seven S's.
Oh, sodomy is not. Oh, too bad. I don't know what they are.
It's sumac and a bunch of other S things.
Mm. Okay. Could we have a little more commentary about Purim here? Huh? No, you keep doing what you're doing. You're still at the banquet here, having fun, torturing Vashti. And would you like to comment a little? This is A.V. Phlox, who's our guest of honor here tonight, who wrote such a nice piece about Purim.
A.V., could you raise your microphone a little bit? Just raise it up a little bit. Let me hear you a minute.
Hello.
Hi.
And I know I didn't really tell you this, but Purim is full of surprises.
I see that. I think this is a really fascinating story because of the...
Talk right into the microphone.
The different elements that go into the masquerade, the seduction.
Yes.
The change, the slow draw of the king.
The slow draw, the tease, you know. Anything worth doing is worth doing slowly. Now, Gypsy Rose Lee said that, and she was a little bit later than Esther.
Just a little bit.
But just a little bit, right. Esther knew it. Esther knew about the slow tease. This is the weapon of mass seduction.
The representation of the different styles of approaching a man. You can be like Vashti and say, no, I do not want. This is what I want. Or you can slowly lead them to what you want them to do for you.
Right. And, you know, I mean, in our story, Vashti isn't doing too bad. She's really enjoying herself, you know. So there's different ways to go. Whoa.
If you have to die.
If you have to die, you might as well go like this. She's burning and
go with
enjoying
a bang.
Herself. And I like the way Lilith is helping with her, you know, kind of helping her to feel okay. Because Lilith does that. Lilith is a kind of a guardian of women, isn't she? She's a guardian of rebel women. Don't set her pussy on fire. He is very aware. This is Dark Phoenix as Haman. Okay. So the queen and the king are getting along really well, Esther and the king, right? Oh, yes, you are. And she's got a hold of both of his scepters. Mm. And now, once again, the king, who is kind of, you know, repetitious, he does it again. He says, Esther, I love you.
I love you.
I will give you anything you want.
I will give you anything you want.
Even half of my kingdom, whatever you want, just tell me.
Whatever you want, just tell me.
And Esther, who has been teasing him all this time, as A.V. pointed out, this is the art of biblical seduction. She now takes her moment. You know, this is a story about masquerade, as we say. Lots of masks. Esther, of course, has been wearing a mask. She has been pretending not to be Jewish. Her real name is Hadassah. Esther, in fact, means hidden. So she has been hiding her true identity all this time. And, you know, that's a part of seduction. Sometimes you have to hide who you really are because you don't want to, you know, ruin it. Because a lot of times who you really are, you know, warts and all, will turn someone off. So you kind of reel them in through showing them parts of yourself through veils. And Esther has been doing that. And that's one reason that the king is so in love with her, other than her tight pussy. And so now she takes her moment. Because, you know, a constant tease is, it's just, it's like you lose it. after a while. And after all, I mean, this genocide edict is still hovering overhead. And so now she takes her moment, and she stands up, naked. And naked, yes, this is naked, right. Okay, and she says, I ask for my life and the life of my people.
I ask for my life and the life of my people.
And he says, sure. I mean, what are you talking about? Esther, of course, your life, of course.
Of course you will have your life.
All right, what are you talking about? Who would have your life? Who would kill you?
Who would kill you? What are you talking about?
And now Esther, a woman of few words, but a lot of savvy. She is the original. This is before Cleopatra, okay? She is the original political woman. And she now takes her moment. Where is he? Okay, and she catches Haman with his pants down. That's right. And she points to him and she says, Haman. Perfect. And wait a second, I gotta get this here. So she points to Haman. What, you have to respond. This is, you're in big trouble here. You didn't even realize why you're playing with fire here.
I have no idea what's going on right now. What?
It's
what,
a party what, show.
I thought we were cool, man.
Okay. Alright.
I'm here with my pants down.
Okay, on. The king is so upset. This is your main best friend.
I am so upset.
You have to go outside to think. Okay, not after him now. Go after Esther.
You.
No, no. Oh, you have to try to plead with her. I mean, if you...
Send me up, please. I'm begging you. Look, you're
a master. Okay, you're pretty cold. You should be pretty cold to him. Okay, King, come on in. You come back in. Now you see this, and you say, what? Will he even assault the queen in my presence?
You assault the queen in my presence?
No, it's not like that, man. It's not what it looks like.
Okay, now the eunuch.
Okay.
The eunuch is going to say, Haman built a gallows in his own backyard. You keep it. You say, Haman built a gallows in his own backyard to hang Mordecai. Now you can hang Haman in that gallows.
Haman built a gallows in his own backyard to hang Mordecai.
Now let's hang Haman.
Now let's hang him.
Okay, grab Haman, everyone. All the girls, grab Haman and bring him to the cross. Okay. To the cross. Okay, but girls, help. You should put him up on the cross.
Put him on the cross.
Take that bath there.
Okay, and you stay in the bed, Esther. You have to.
Oh, that's on me.
No, no, not you. Of course, he gets pretty girls to put him on the cross. So, we're kind to our Haman. It's the excuse for a lot of guys. They do. You know, and of course, this is the climax of the story. Yeah, where'd the microphone go? Oh, you got it. That's good. You're doing good. Okay, girls, get him up there and take care of him, you know. And so this is the climax of the story. At this point now, Esther has obviously saved her people from genocide. Stand up. And yet, I have to say that this is not the end of the story.
Watch the cross.
Wait, Lily, wait. Hey.
Watch the cross, Susan, watch that cross.
Okay. Okay, Lily, Lily, come back into the bed. Lily, come into the bed. Okay. Are you okay, Haman? Okay. Okay, this is one way to create a eunuch, actually. See, Lilith is dangerous, really. Yeah. Okay, be nice, be nice. Okay, so now this is really the climax of the story, and we're about to have a big party. But I just want to say that this is not the end of the story, because right at this point, since the king could not actually call off all the killers that had been released all over his kingdom, now what he did was he gave Mordecai permission to tell the Jews that they could defend themselves. Okay? And I think I'll light a candle now. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Purim.
Sunrise. Okay.
Susan.
Pillar on the roof. There you go. Okay, so now, at this point, of course, all these Jewish troops kill all these, like, I don't know, Assyrians or Malachites or...
The Hullites. All the Ites got killed.
Agagites.
Luddites,
a bunch of those guys. Who? Oh, Ezra? Talk on the microphone.
The Persians.
Well, some Persians.
Well, yes, some Persians.
I mean, they're all Persians in a way. But it's a certain group, another group, or a couple groups. Anyway, quiet down a little, Haman.
Sorry.
Yeah. I know, I'm almost done here. But I do want to say that I love this story of Esther for the way that it describes how Esther uses her weapons of mass seduction to save her people. And it's a very sexy, hot story. But then it descends into all this blood and violence, which, of course, is not unusual for a Bible story,
no,
right?
No.
And not unusual for human beings, because that's really the way it often goes. And I hate to see the cycle of violence continue, but it does. It just keeps continuing. We just bombed Libya today. And of course, we had a reason, right? There's always a reason. You're always doing it in self-defense. You always say, I mean, I've asked rabbis about this. Why did the Jews have to kill all the Assyrians or whatever, Malachites, at the end? And they say, well, it's in self-defense.
Why not?
Rabbi, why not? There you go. Anyway, it's terrible. But at the same time, you got to make do with the holidays that you have. And so I want to celebrate Persian New Year. I want to celebrate Purim. I want to celebrate spring. And I want to celebrate sex. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear an amen, women?
Hey, women.
All right. I would like to introduce our characters now, and we will take some bows, and then the party shall extend. But first, let's hear it for Esther. Misty Dawn, the heroine who used weapons of mass seduction to save her people. And, of course, her lover and her king, Michael Vegas. I knew those spoons were going to be useful for more than one thing. Great spoon. Okay, can I announce what you're going to do? With Axel? Yeah, okay. Michael is going to be Luke Skywalker in Axel Braun's parody of Star Wars, okay? So he is the king. And Mordecai. Infant cousin Mordecai. Take the strut, man. This is Bon Johnson, who is a Thai kickboxer and actually teaches classes in that and is many things. Porn star, jack of all trades, and jack offer. Yeah. All right. And he's the hero, of course. But on Purim, you're supposed to drink so much you don't know the difference between the hero and the villain. And the villain, who is also a kind of hero because we get to take out all of our frustrations on him, is the great and powerful Dark Phoenix. And Vashti, come forward. This is Sin Sage, brothers and sisters. And let's see, we also have, our guard. Okay, Exeter. Exeter Miles. Lord Exeter Miles is busy with the hookah. Yes. Lord Exeter Miles. And we have our harem girls. Sienna Sinclair, beautiful. Do a little spin around, ladies. And of course, the eunuch, our fabulous eunuch, Morgan Bailey. Very pivotal character. And Katie Kins and Lilith, who is also a pivotal character, played by Lily Cade.
And our horses.
And we have Ginny Blossom. And Siren Celine. And the horses. Let's have the horses. Tell me your name again. Tindala. Tindala is the king's horse. And Mama D is also the king's horse. Alright. And Horam Sameach. Let the feasting begin or continue. Okay? Let's have a bunch of pictures, everybody. Okay, and music. Can we have music? Music. Music for the eunuch. Okay, we are now waiting for the music. And I'm waiting for the music. And then we have partying. What time is it? Yeah. Yeah, we're good. The aphrodisiac. Oh, yes. Well, you can eat it. Let's see. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Later. Okay. I'm just wondering where the music is because I thought music was going to come up.
Rabbi needs his music.
Right. Music. Can we have music, please? It's a big production here, but okay. Well, any case, let me just say good night to those who are tuning in via the web, although I don't know if we're showing the after party here. We're about to embark upon the Purim erotic after party, which should be even wilder and crazier than the show. So, you know, do whatever you're doing. I want you to be good. I want you to be happy. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you, I love you. Say, I love you. Everyone, I love you.
I love you.
Okay. And, okay. Well, no music. Do we have a music problem? I guess we do. Now that all the microphones are working. Yep. Yeah, the rehearsal's done, right?
Yeah. Now we run the show? From the top.
What?
From the top?
Yeah. You know, where is everybody? You know what? I need music. I need music. That's what I need. Have none. Can somebody let me know that... Okay. Ah, I hear it.
Music.
It's coming. All right. All right, everyone. Eat, drink, and be merry.